Welcome to Top Cut Savvy with John Early and Josiah Beers.
Hey guys, I'm John Early with my usual co-host Josiah Beers. Tonight we're going to talk to you guys about staple ossoles. So last week's episode we talked about staple dominance. We originally envisioned this episode as one big episode, but as we started talking about dominance, we ended up going down a couple rabbit trails throughout a deck building challenge to you guys, and it just ended up going long. We're trying to keep these episodes to 30-40 minutes because we think that's the amount of time that people typically have to listen to us. If that's not the case, we would ramble for hours at you. We honestly really would. So drop some comments to us. Let us know how you feel about episode length, about the content that we are currently distributing, things that you would like to see from us in the future, and we'll see what we can do to work on some of that stuff for you. So tonight we're going to talk about lost souls and how they impact deck building choices. Josiah, so, you want to start us off there?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. The problem with talking about staple lost souls is, though, is that there's kind of a couple different options. You can play New Testament staples, you can play Old Testament staples, or you can play a hybrid, which includes the best of both.
Absolutely.
You summed it up perfectly. Really unique souls. Yeah. There's some really unique souls in each of those categories, like New Testament only and Old Testament only, that are extremely valuable. Like Covet in the Old Testament lost souls, that's an extremely good lost soul, right? To go, I'm trying to remember, that's the one that goes into your opponent's deck and swaps for one, right? Like you go steal one of their best lost soul abilities and then give them Covet, which does nothing for them for the rest of the game. You know, like that's incredibly good. But the question you have to weigh is that worth not playing a card like Lawless, which gets you speed and adds cards to your hand, which also helps you put lost souls like Humble on the table or helps you go get your, oh my goodness, what's the new ultra rare lost soul that came out last year?
Remnant,
yes. Or lets you get Remnant out and get it on the table, right? So Lawless is a super valuable soul. You get that speed factor, you get your Remnant, you get your Humble, whatever. So is losing Lawless worth playing Covet? Like those are the decisions you have to make. So for me, if you're going to ask me what are my staples, 90% of my deck builds are going to rely on hybrid building. I'm going to take the best from both worlds and use those.
Yeah, and I'm going to flip around the question that you asked. Is playing Covet worth not playing Lawless? Here's the inverse of that question. Is playing Lawless worth risking your Covet not going off? In 2018, I played Hashtag Mayhem. I played a Lost Soul spread that included Covet and New Testament Lost Souls because I was willing to risk my Covet not going off because just conceptually to me, I played one New Testament Lost Soul. I played Lawless because Lawless is, in my mind, about as close to a staple Lost Soul as we have. I think there is an argument for about 15 or 16 different Lost Souls being playable, but I think Lawless is in most deck builds. And so I thought it was worth it to play Covet and Lawless and have that rare situation where Lawless hits the table first and I'm not able to give it up. Because the thing is, when you only play one New Testament Lost Soul, you can give that soul to your opponent before your Covet hits the table, and then you have Unity OT again. So I think here's some really powerful Lost Souls that you can start to build around, guys. Remnant Lost Soul, like Josiah talked about, is probably a staple, regardless if you're playing NT or OT, because the NT souls don't care if you're playing OT souls. There isn't a Unity NT Lost Soul, and so you're going to play Remnant in your NT set. The Remnant Lost Soul is probably as close to a staple as we have. I play that in just about every deck. The ability to fix an opening hand where you don't have a hero by grabbing one out of the reserve is too clutch. The ability to remove a powerful option from your opponent in the mid game is too clutch. I play that soul in just about every deck. So other OT Lost Souls that I'd play in an OT, if I was going just straight OT only Lost Souls, I'm playing Remnant. I'm playing Exiles to go grab a Covenant or an artifact, or honestly to get back a star card from discard pile is an underrated part of that ability that is pretty good. I'm playing Prosperity for the draw. I'm playing Darkness for the evil character grab. I'm playing Covet Lost Soul for the soul gen and grabbing an important piece from my opponent. And then I'm probably playing Humble because Humble fits in both. It's OT and NT. And it's really solid, so I'm probably playing Humble. I can see an argument for playing Hunter in the OT set. And in fact, I did play Hunter last year because
I've actually played Hunter over Prosperity.
Yeah, I haven't gone that far. I'm not crazy. But playing Hunter to grab Exiles or Remnants early on is a play that is very viable. I could see an argument for playing the Blind Lost Soul. The Blind Lost Soul is the OT Lost Soul that negates NT Lost Souls. If you really think that the meta is that diverse to the point where players are playing NT Souls enough, I can see playing the Blind Lost Soul. I think that's a valid play. The female only Lost Soul is Old Testament. I can see an argument for playing the female only Lost Soul. I think it's tough because there's a lot of things out there that could negate protect abilities, but I don't know if enough players are going to play those things. And so there's kind of that idea of a soul control deck out there. Playing souls like female only, NT only, star 4, star 6, player 6 star, whatever, playing those Lost Souls in that deck to help mitigate those turns where you do have a soul on the table is a viable strategy, completely viable strategy. Yeah, they're going to get negated by Son of God sometimes, and that's fine. That's going to happen. Yeah, your opponent
Soul you play can be negated by Son of God.
Exactly. Any soul you play, except for Humble. Humble can't be negated by Son of God. And things that complete in previous phases, like Remnant and Lawless and things like that. But yeah, Son of God, not playing a Lost Soul because, oh, my opponent can negate it with Son of God is a terrible argument. Don't do that to yourself. Don't use the argument that, oh, my opponent can answer this card as a reason to not play a card. Yeah, your card can get answered. So what? They have to answer it. If you have a card that is so good that your opponent has to answer it, that's a card you want to play. Just have a plan for when they answer it. Like, have that plan in the back of your head that, hey, if my opponent answers this, I need to do something else. If your opponent has to answer a card, that's a good card to play. So I'm not saying go out and throw the female only Lost Soul in every deck because your opponent has to answer it. But if you have a deck that you can take advantage of the female only Lost Soul, play it. It's a viable card. So
especially if you're playing the soul control, like you said, because then you play the NT only Lost Soul, and then there's that new one that is like, what is it, Meek Heroes only from this new set. So
yeah, absolutely. So that's a bunch of OT souls. Josiah, you want to rattle off some NT ones?
Well, let me check with you real quick on the OT. I'm curious where you put Punisher now. So Punisher is the one that says if opponent has more than three good brigades, so four or more good brigades in play, negate their heroes. Where does that fall on your list? Do you include it? Is it one of those niche ones? Is it one that you never play? Do you think that since we've banned Samuel, those crazy spread throne auto Sam decks are going to go away? So maybe it's not as valuable as it was last year or in years previous.
I don't. It's tough. I was a huge fan of Punisher for a really long time. And I think the Punisher Lost Soul is good. It's just not as good as it used to be. I think you can catch people off guard with it sometimes, but I don't know that it's amazing anymore for a couple different reasons. One, I think there's other things that just do its job better. It's Coven with Death being chief among them. It just does the job better because it doesn't have the restriction of you know, having to have more than three good brigades. And I think that players are playing less good brigades than ever. I say than ever. That's not really what I mean. I think players are playing less good brigades. I think as we've themed things harder and as we've made things not interact well outside of their own brigades, and we've really encouraged players to play single brigade decks in recent years. We've not as much in LOC. LOC lends itself to being kind of single brigade-ish in its heroes because of the way that the sub-themes of Meek are designed, but we pushed players towards single brigade offenses for a while with counter cards that punish you for having more than a couple brigades, like Punisher Lost Soul, like Hawkeye, the Black Gold Outsider. So I don't think it's probably doesn't even vie for a flex spot for me anymore. One that does, though, that I didn't mention when I talked about OT Souls, and I rattled those off real quick, is the Distressed Lost Soul. Came out last year in Prophecies of Christ. It is kind of a mini CWD. It negates characters in other territories. That's all it does. It's a pretty simple ability, but I think it's overlooked a little bit. I think that's a pretty strong ability to have, and you have a couple different ways to access that ability. That's pretty solid. So I think that one is kind of one of those flex spots for me where I could see playing it over some other things.
I'm going to touch on a couple souls that we haven't mentioned yet that I think are at least in niche decks, right? And I've actually seen these three in particular played a ton in my play group.
Are they OT or NT?
These are OT. One is OT. Wicked, which grants the regardless of protection to the first evil enhancement you play. I've seen that played a lot. I think probably because Auto Gideon's been big in my play area, as well as Hezekiah to Isaiah in Throne decks has been a big play. So that has probably seen an uptick in my area because of that. The Wanderer Lost Soul as an Old Testament. That's pretty close to staple too. And Vindicated. Lots of people in my area play Vindicated, which is the one that restricts the rescuer from playing dominance until their next turn. Lots of people play Vindicated, give it to you, and then fall it away. So then you're sitting there with two turns in a row with you can't play dominance. Then they hit you with a serpent. So you're sitting there with like five turns where you can't play your good dominance. And that creates hand clog, which creates issues. Like, that's underrated play too if you're playing the old school falling away.
I definitely played Vindicated and Wicked and Exchanger in 2018. And then 2019 came along and we had Exiles and Remnant that I thought were just too good to not play. Sure. And those two souls honestly kind of forced those souls out. All three of those souls that I just listed are really solid souls. I think Wicked's incredible. And I think Vindicated is ridiculously good. Vindicated is another card that, yeah, my opponent's going to Son of God that a lot, but if my opponent has a Son of God Vindicated, it means they didn't Son of God something else that's more valuable, like my Humble. If you don't Son of God my Humble,
or your Remnant,
or my Remnant, that feels like a big win for me. Yeah. So I'm fine if you Son of God Vindicated to get around this ability. Like, that's what I want you to do, honestly. So yeah, I definitely played those cards, and I think you can still make an argument those cards are viable. They just kind of got forced out for me because I think the speed opportunities afforded by Remnant and Exiles are too good to pass up.
For sure.
So Josiah, go ahead and rattle off six or seven NT souls that you would play if you were playing NT only Lost Souls.
Yeah, so if I'm going NT only, Lawless is in there. Imitate is in there. Imitate is an interesting one because it really only gains value off a couple souls being in play. But it's still one I would consider. To be totally honest with you, I'm like looking through Lackey right now, trying to remember because my brain's going crazy. Oh, so Open Hand, that's a good one. If you're going to play Imitate, getting to Hand Spy every turn can be really powerful. Sorry, man. My brain's going mush.
It's all good. So I can rattle off four or five more here.
If you want to. So Forsaken is another one that I forgot that I said earlier. Negating opponent's banned abilities from a Lost Soul. That's really strong, especially considering now that we have Cascade Negate disappearing. I feel like that shutting down all of their banding is going to be really powerful.
I agree. That is definitely going to see a comeback. The one big one that you haven't mentioned yet is Dull. If you're playing NT Souls, you're playing Dull. And Dull is one of those souls that if you're playing Blended, is one of the cards that you probably end up keeping in a Blended option. And then the other NT soul that I see a lot is Awake. The Awake Lost Soul is a soul gen piece that also combos pretty well with Imitate. Make sure that you have a soul available to rescue each turn. It plays somewhat similar to the Covet Soul. The Covet Soul is a soul gen piece for OT. The Awake Soul is a soul gen piece for NT. They function differently, but they both accomplish the goal of putting a lost soul on the table on your opponent's side. Other NT souls that are viable. So you've got the, I don't even know what the nickname is for this soul, but you have the NT version of Hunter, which I legit don't know what the nickname is for this soul, but it does the exact same thing.
It's called Exchanger.
Is it called Exchanger? Okay, cool.
I don't know. I might be wrong about that.
Yeah. Gain Soul, I could maybe see an argument for. Definitely a couple years ago, it was really good in an NT set as getting a card out of your reserve, shuffles it into the deck. Now that we have a lot more reserve access, I don't see that being quite as good, but I could still see an argument for it. If you wanted to argue that one with me, I'd listen to you.
Well, and there's the hand discard lost soul that's New Testament, that if you put it in the site, it discards a card from you, that your opponent has to discard a card from hand. I mean, there's tricks you can do with that to get really nasty.
Totally.
What's the site? There's like a site, right, that if you put a soul in it discards.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's a solid set of NT souls that you can play around with. And then, like we said, there's a blended set. You can play OT only, NT only, or you can play a blend of them. And I think that blend probably looks something like Lawless, Dull, maybe Imitate, and then, you know, Prosperity, Remnant, Exchanger, things like that. So that's something you have to play around with a little bit. But I think most of the souls that we've mentioned are viable and playable. You just have to kind of decide what's right for you and your deck. So
if I play blended Lost Souls, I play anything that adds cards to my hand.
Yeah, like, that's pretty much what I do too.
That's how, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why you're playing blended, is because you're just trying to go bonkers speed. So I think there's 5 new Lost Souls in LOC. And we're just going to run through those real quick and talk about whether or not they kind of make the cut. If we have our standard, quote unquote, sets of souls that we tend to play, do these replace any of those? So we've got the Oppressed Lost Soul. The Oppressed Lost Soul is the one that negates star abilities on OT cards in opponent's hands. It's an OT soul. I think that one definitely makes the cut for me. Negating stars, there's like one or two ways of doing it. There's none before LOC. There wasn't a single way in Prophecies of Christ. There wasn't a single way to negate stars. I think we gave you 2, maybe 3 in LOC. So I'm probably playing that one, to be honest, because the ability to take away those stars that nothing else can do seems pretty good to me.
That's interesting, because to me, I read that and went, yeah, I'm never playing that.
Sure.
Like, just for me, like, at least right now, I feel like the star abilities, some of them are good. Some of them are really good. Most of them are kind of blase blah, you know, like they kind of do something that isn't really that great. I'm not that worried about it. And then I have to draw this before you draw it. And then you have to draw a star ability on your draw phase or on your opening 8. So this soul really only gets great value if I draw it off my initial opening 8 draw or play Hunter to go get it and get it out.
That's definitely the place where it has the most value. I think I agree with your assessment of where star abilities are, but when I have the opportunity to answer the stars that are really amazing, that feels good to me. And I think time will tell on that.
Sure.
So then we've got Remiss. Remiss is the bounce soul. If put in territory, you may bounce a character in a territory. The set is built around bouncing. So to have a soul that does the bounce just makes sense. I don't know how good this is. I think, obviously, you're going to play all of these souls in LOC only constructed unless you're playing the Meek Soul deck. If you're playing the Meek Soul deck, then you're not going to play it. But if you're playing LOC only constructed, you're going to play all of these. But what I was trying to go with that thought is, I think you play this in LOC only if you had to make a choice. If there were 4 other souls and you had to make a choice of one not to play, I think this one makes the cut, because the ability to remove an answer, even temporarily, is pretty good. I don't know if it's quite strong enough in constructed play to make the cut over something else, only because it functions kind of similar to Remnant in that it answers an opponent's counter card. In theory, is what you should be doing with it. You're not just going to play this to bounce somebody random. You might bounce one of your own to reset it. And if you're playing a reset deck in constructed play in type 1, then I could see that maybe an argument for that where you want to bounce your own card to reset it from meek to non-meek or vice versa. So I could see that argument as a reason to play it. But typically, I look at this as kind of removing counters, and there's just better ways to do that in constructed play, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the biggest value I see in it is dealing with something that I'm not sure we're going to see a lot of, which is like those Canaanite ways to give, like, where your opponent ends up giving you a Canaanite and then they're going to try to choose it and kill it without you being able to do anything. I mean, it kind of counters Remnant. I guess they take your character and you're going to bounce it back to your hand. Outside of that, I'm very much with you. It's eh.
Yeah. Unfaithful, protect this card from rescue except by a Meek hero. Maybe not playing that one either in Meek Souls and LOC constructed. Maybe you're not playing that one in LOC constructed because it's probably not going to protect itself all that often. But I think this one is one that you play in Constructed Type 1. If you are playing that Soul control deck that we've talked about a couple times tonight, it is one that slots in very well to that. It is a card that needs to be answered by a negate ability or by the opponent's Son of God in Constructed play, typically. You will see Meek Heroes outside of LOC only play next year. If you are playing standard type one, you will see Meek Heroes because we've made some that are powerful enough to slot into other offenses. So there is that outside opportunity, but generally I think that's a very solid Lost Soul.
Yeah, I think I agree overall. To me though, I guess if I'm playing that hybrid blended Old Testament, New Testament combination thing, this isn't going to make the cut there.
Probably don't have room for it.
It's not adding cards to your hand. You're not getting faster.
So. I see that. Then you've got Accusers, which negates OT humans in battle. That one doesn't really do it for me, and I'm not excited about that soul. It's solid. It's just not spectacular. It's good in LSE only Constructed. Obviously, everything's OT, so it's good there. I just don't know if it does enough in type one standard play to really make the cut. I don't know. I mean, it feels like it should be good. Like it's got some of those same attributes as like Covenant with Death and whatnot, but I just don't know.
So for me, I would say in the long run, the soul's going to have not a lot of value. Right. But right now where the meta is, when's the last time you sat down and played someone that played New Testament heroes in their deck? Like
3-4 years.
I mean, it's been a long time since the top level competitive deck has focused around New Testament. Now that's not to say that there's not still some good clay builds, but here's the honest truth. Those clay builds weren't good enough to win nationals when they came out. They're definitely not good enough to do it now. So the best players who are trying to play the best decks to have the best chance to win nationals aren't playing that stuff. So I'm saying this soul right now has the most value, in my opinion, that it's ever going to have in the game. So if you are going to play it, now's the time to play it. But I still am not sure that it's worth playing.
Yeah. So that's the souls in LOC. There's one more, I guess. Complacent. Yeah, yep. Complacent. Restrict dominance during the battle phase. That's pretty solid.
I actually really like that. And we were talking about those staple dominance earlier. I actually was thinking to myself, you know, truth be told, you could build a deck that intends to keep this on the table by playing old school Falling Away and then intentionally choose not to play Angel of the Lord, Grapes of Wrath, Christian Martyr, and then play all those niche dominance or play. I mean, you could, if you're playing this soul with the old school Falling Away to try and bring it back and make sure it stays on the table, you could legitimately play a deck that doesn't have Christian Martyr, Angel, or Grapes. And that gives you space to play Chronicles of Kings, Destruction of the Houston, Shipwreck, and maybe even Rubble and Dust. And now all
Rubble
of a sudden you have
Dust is a thing.
And Rubble all of a sudden you have answers to lots and lots of the new stuff that's coming out. Like there's lots of forts that are viable now. There's lots of sites that are viable now. There's a ton of artifacts that are viable now. And there's a ton of artifacts that are beginning to activate themselves on other locations, making Rubble and Dust viable. I mean, there's part of me that sits here and goes, if you dedicate yourself to old school Falling Away and keeping Complacent on the table, it could be very viable in making your opponent's dominance way less valuable and giving you a ton more value in your dominance.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, you're losing value by not having Angel and Christian Martyr in battle, but you're gaining more than you're losing than your opponent. Like, your opponent's losing more value than you are, and you're getting better value than out of your dominance by keeping that Lost Soul on the table.
The only thing with that, I agree. I think that's an interesting direction you could take a deck. They can still play those cards outside of battle, which obviously isn't nearly as good as playing them in battle. But you can still play Angel and Christian Martyr and remove a threat from the territory, unless you have something protecting them, obviously.
Honestly, for me, if I'm playing against you and you play Angel of the Lord on me, on one of my evil characters in my territory, I'm standing up and clapping and saying, yeah, praise the Lord. Win. Like, Yes. Correct. Like, I'm all about that. So for me, that's not even a loss.
Yeah, I definitely see that. So that's the Lost Souls and LOC only, guys. And that's going to kind of wrap up our segment here on Lost Souls tonight. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. So this has been a discussion on standard sets of cards, cards that we think are staples, cards that you should play in every deck. And we started with Dominance and Lost Souls because you have to play them. You don't have to play Dominance, but if you don't, you're behind the eight ball. You have to play Lost Souls. So hopefully this gives you a good foundation off of which to build your decks. So in our next segment, we're going to talk about LOC constructed play staples, cards that you are going to play in all of your Meek deck builds and all of your LOC only constructed builds. And we'll probably dovetail off a couple times into LOC, or sorry, into type one standard play staples as well, and discuss cards that we've had success with in the past and cards that we think are going to be good in the future. So this has been Top Cut Savvy, produced and hosted by John Early and Josiah Beers. Thanks for listening.
This has been Top Cut Savvy, produced and hosted by John Early and Josiah Beers, talking about Redemption CCG. Thank you all for listening.